Time Traveler's Soul, a Mordal Zushi fanwork, written by Munt Engel and read for you by Dana Scully, 1013. This fanwork is not rated, and the creator chose not to use archive warnings. Additional tags include time travel. Winter was almost here. The cold of the wind had begun to turn bitter just days ago. Sharp and biting, it cut straight through the layers of cloth and fur and chilled his skin. Lan Zhan held in the shivers as best he could. As his cheeks turned red and chapped, his back quivered with a vibration few would notice. It made an ache in his body, down to the bones, even the cold couldn't numb. The door in front of him stayed shut as tight as it had the last time he'd come to visit Mother. Today was the appointed day. She should open it this time. He'd been so good this month. Better even than last month. He'd done all his lessons, completed all his assignments, and finished copying the entire Book of Righteousness. The hard characters, and even the ones he didn't know yet, were written so perfectly Uncle himself couldn't find fault. He had been good. It didn't matter, though, because the door still refused to open. Maybe it never would. A brightly glowing orb popped into existence beside him and startled away the tears that had begun to rise. It spiraled close to his face, then began hopping and swirling through the air in excitement. Darting close to his face, it perched light as a butterfly on the tip of his nose. When he crossed his eyes to look at it, it quivered as if in delight, then darted back to begin a more frenzied dance through the air. A soul, he guessed. He'd read about their appearance, but not yet been able to see one. Only older children, like Lan Huan, who'd begun their cultivation, could go to the Gu Jin lessons where they were summoned. Hesitantly, he held up his hands toward it the way Uncle had taught him to approach the horses. Moments later, the soul was bouncing and rolling around his flat palms in a way he could only call dancing. Rather than sadness or sorrow as he'd been taught souls would have, Lan Zhan got only an impression of joyful enthusiasm from this little soul. A happy, dancing soul. Lan Zhan's lips tugged just a little into a smile. The soul darted up to his cheek, wiggling back and forth before bouncing back in the air three times and disappearing. Lan Zhan blinked and looked around for it. He wandered in circles, chasing likely glints, only to find it was sunlight on the snow, even poked at Mother's iced-over gentian bushes to see if it would reappear. When Lan Huan came to collect him, he blinked in surprise, then seemed oddly delighted at Lan Zhan's put-upon frown as he eyed the swirling trails of Lan Zhan's footprints in the snow. The little soul kept coming back. There seemed to be no pattern to its appearances. Night or day, summer or winter, even the length of its stay could change. Once it was there only long enough to bump against his cheek like a gentle kiss. Once it trailed him all day, ducking into the cover of his sleeves during lessons and crawling over the bare skin of his wrist while the teacher lectured as if saying, "Pay attention to me!" He knew he should have told someone about it, but the soul had never made any motion to harm him. Even if only a tiny glow, it was nice to have someone so happy to see him. In fact, in a part of his heart, he'd started to think of it as a friend. The mystery of it was also too interesting to let Uncle exercise it just yet. Who was it? How did it keep appearing the way it did despite the arrays around Gusu? Why did it always appear only before him? It had never responded to his attempts at inquiry, always only sliding along a string to make a meaningless note before playfully nudging his hand until he plucked out a song instead. Not having any substance itself, it was only as his cultivation grew that he could feel the faint pressure and warmth of its spiritual energy against his own whenever it bumped against him. It bounced and twirled through the air, rolled and tumbled around the floor, and did its very best to distract him from whatever he was doing whenever it appeared. Somehow it managed to be loud without the ability to make a sound. If he was copying one of the books of rules, it would perch on the tip of his brush or climb up and down the ladder of his fingers. If he was in the middle of meditation, it would crawl over his robes and slide up the length of his hair as if pretending to climb a great mountain before hopping to the top of his head and bouncing cheerfully until it vanished or he paid it attention. Sometimes, very rarely, it would approach him hesitantly, uncertainly. Those times, he held out his hands and patiently waited for it to come and settle there like a warm cat. Always, it was a happy thing that brightened the room and made even the saddest days seem hopeful. Which was why concern had his heart racing from the moment it appeared as he was getting ready for bed. He almost didn't notice it, hovering dully beside the tassels on his new battle guzin. Only when the candles were extinguished and he was about to lay down to bed did he catch sight of a pinprick like a star where there was no window to see them. Hurried steps brought him to its side in a moment. Lemmanzi reached up a hand, but instead of joyfully hopping into his cupped palm, the soul flinched back, leaving behind a few motes of light like shards of glass that dissolved into nothing before they could hit the floor. It was broken. Grief and fear pounded his chest, but Lemmanzi forced himself to think clearly. Snagging a soul-capturing pouch, he hastily caught it. A soul damaged like this wouldn't last long without help. Hefting his gu qin with one hand, Lemmanzi ran across the cloud recesses, heedless of curfew or rules, until he reached the Han Shi. "Brother," he called, entering straight into Lan Xichen's bedchamber without announcing himself. Lan Xichen blinked, disoriented as he was shaken awake. "Wang Ji, what?"
"Help, please."
Lan Xichen's sleepiness cleared in a moment with alarm.
"What? What is it? What's happened?"
he demanded, hands patting at Lemmanzi's chest and arms before he looked toward the door as if listening for some chaos.
"The soul."
Lemmanzi held up the pouch holding the soul. He felt his love for his brother deepen as the puzzlement immediately turned to concern.
"What happened to it? Wang Ji, how did you get this?"
"I don't know what happened. It appeared in my room like this."
Lan Xichen's eyes searched his for a moment, then he nodded and rose from the bed. Grabbing his own gu jin, he gestured for Lemmanzi to sit opposite him. Settling the soul between them, Lemmanzi joined him in playing soul-healing songs. Some were far beyond his own lessons, but Lemmanzi had been following Lan Xichen since the day he was born, and playing the gu qin only a short while longer. What phrases he didn't know, he copied the movements of Lan Xichen's hands finely enough only Uncle would be able to hear the slight lag. The calluses on his fingers deepened, his arms began to ache, and his eyes were heavy with sleep. But Lemmanzi continued to play until the sun rose, until the soul stabilized and even strengthened with the spiritual energy he offered it freely. Once it was safe, Lemmanzi carefully opened the pouch. Even exhausted, he found the strength to smile as it hopped and rolled experimentally on his palm. It froze as Lemmanzi gently said, "I'm glad you're okay." It shifted side to side as if shuffling its feet, then disappeared as abruptly as ever.
"Wang Ji?" With a sigh, he turned to his brother and prepared to explain. It didn't take as long as he expected. Lan Xizhen had fewer questions and none of the objections he'd thought he'd hear. Instead, he only offered to look into the records Lan Wenji did not yet have access to for information about souls appearing and disappearing like this. There were no records, but that didn't stop Lan Wenji from reading through the library himself once he was old enough to be permitted. Sometimes, while he scoured the library, the soul was twirling around him happily, trying to tug at his hair and clothes and sometimes his forehead ribbon. A swift swat and a glare would send it careening into the bookshelves, trembling with laughter. A few times, Lan Xizhen was around when the soul appeared. Sometimes it hid from him until coaxed out with assurances that Lan Xizhen was safe to show himself to. Other times, it eagerly bounced a cheerful ring around his head before returning to pestering Lan Wenji. There was something to that. Lan Wenji could feel it. The thought began to niggle at his mind. There was no clear pattern to the soul's comfort and wariness with Lan Xizhen, or even himself. Sometimes it circled slowly, as if uncertain of its welcome before approaching. Sometimes it bolted straight for Lan Wenji like an old friend. Sometimes the uncertainty held hesitation, fear. Other times it was almost as if it were waiting for him to show recognition and welcome. Keeping a log of dates and the soul's shifting moods, he still found no pattern, until one day the little soul noticed it. Trembling in that merry laughter, it bobbed thoughtfully, then swooped several times at the paper until he revealed another page. Bouncing like a ball, it hopped, seemingly at random, from one entry to another. Lan Wenji frowned and followed the motions. Leaning forward, he read the entries in the order the soul indicated and realized, read this way, the soul's familiarity with him progressed in a natural order.
Time. You are skipping through time?
He looked at the soul for confirmation and received a looping arch through the air that ended in a familiar press against his cheek. The library held no more information on skipping through time than it did on the disappearance of souls, but Lan Wenji persisted. This had to be happening for a reason. What's more, he suspected the soul would not be able to properly reincarnate if this continued. Inquiry still yielded no results, even as he mastered the technique. As the soul was unable or unwilling to answer, Lan Wenji was left to ponder and test his own theories on how to help his friend. One day, a few weeks before the new disciples were to arrive, what appeared before him was not a little soul, but the bloody wreck of a man. Blood and muscle and bone were exposed in a gruesome, horrifying mess. One arm was gone, the other was twisted like a wrung towel and hanging in a mess of exposed bone and ribboned skin. He could see organs glittering wetly as they beat and fluttered with the last vestiges of life. In the bloodied mess of his face, one gray eye was still intact and looked up at him.
Lan Xizhen,
he gurgled, black globs of blood spattering up from his lips.
Lan Xizhen.
A long, hissing sound escaped him, and his heart stopped beating. Lan Wenji could see it, still as a stone, between the shredded wings of his lungs. A tiny, damaged soul rose out of the corpse and disappeared with a familiar wink. Lan Wenji sat there in silence until Lan Xizhen came looking for him. They built a grave. Toward the back of the mountain, but not near the Genshin cottage, under a flowering magnolia tree. He had no name to give, but left a grave marker anyway, blank except for a border of dancing flower petals. The soul did not come back, no matter how long he waited. He counted the days by the breaths in his chest and echoing in the empty, gaping room around him. Lam Manzi went into secluded meditation. For a short while, at Lan Zitzen's urging, "Just until your mind is calm again, Wang Zi, please." When he returned to the cloud recesses, he met a cheerful, irreverent boy who leapt and twirled through the air and laughed endlessly. "Look at me, Lan Zhen!" 3 years later, he saw Wei Wuxian, and his breath caught, not for his handsome face or kind heart, but the robes that fell from his shoulders. He knew those robes. They weren't shredded or soaked in blood, but the cut and the color were all the same. "No," he thought, "it can't be. I'm mistaken." Another 3 years, and he twisted his fingers in those robes and thought, "Please, no, please, please, no," as he stole him away from a mob of corpses and cultivators that wanted to rend him limb from limb. When he heard, "His cultivation backfired, his own army destroyed him, there wasn't even a body left," Lam Wenji thought of the nameless grave on the back mountain of Gusu, and the one time Wei Wuxian had stood over it with him. He'd laughed and run up behind him with a wide smile, as he so often did, as soon as he caught sight of him, calling Lam Manzi's name in as many ways as he could think of. There were many. "Where are you going, Lan Zhen?" Lam Manzi had only huffed, as Wei Wuxian declared he'd just follow him and find out if he wouldn't tell, red ribbon dancing in the air as he skipped a circle around him and continued to try to guess where Lam Manzi was going. When the grave came into view, he'd fallen suddenly silent. His mouth had twisted in something like remorse before Lam Manzi had beckoned him to follow as he brushed off a few fallen leaves and set out some incense in offering. He hadn't known exactly why it had seemed important Wei Wuxian come with him that day. As the other boy offered his own incense and a respectful bow, Lam Manzi had only thought that the man who had been that little soul would have liked Wei Wuxian. He thought they were a lot alike. Fingers digging in the foul soil of the burial mounds, Lam Manzi knew he wouldn't find what he'd come for. He'd already left it in Gusu. Thirteen years, and then a little more later, Lam Manzi walked into the cloud recesses, hand firm around the lead of a donkey bearing his chattering husband. After a few days settling in, washing the dirt of the road off, familiarizing themselves with the bed and the floor and the bath, and meeting and greeting a flurry of juniors and elders, they finally had a moment of free time. Lam Manzi clasped Wei Wuxian's hand and laced their fingers, pressing a kiss to his knuckles, then another to his lips, which he didn't let Wei Wuxian turn into something more, despite the immediate whining. Lam Manzi tugged him out the door. Gently, he led him to the back mountain and the magnolia tree with a nameless grave. "Oh, I remember this. Why are we here?" Wei Wuxian swung their hands as they approached. "Oh, we don't have incense this time."
"We do."
Lam Manzi pulled the Tiankun pouch from his sleeve with everything they needed to properly tend the grave. Wei Wuxian was surprisingly quiet as they neatened the grave, only speaking after Lam Manzi settled some incense sticks in the burner he brought. "So, whose grave is this anyway? Do you know?" Lamunti took a slow breath.
Yours.
Wei Wuxian jolted and gaped at him. What? He breathed, brows drawing close in a strange expression between uneasy confusion and hope.
You said,
Lamunti began,
you don't remember the time when you were dead, but I do.
Slowly, thumbs stroking over Wei Wuxian's hands, then his cheeks when they grew wet, Lamunti told him of the little soul that skipped across time. A beloved friend, a man who died and was buried with care and honor under an empty grave marker and a beautiful tree. In the purple twilight, as they walked away, the last of the memorial incense curled against the freshly carved characters. Wei Wuxian.